Welcome to Rebel Femme Podcast, a podcast for women. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the ultimate wedding day bridal checklist. And if you haven't checked out Danielle's blog, she's also known as Cosmo by Danielle on Instagram. If you haven't checked out her blog on rebelfemme.com, we highly suggest you do. Get all your Rebel Femme merch and your favorite salon products like Olaplex, Moroccan oil hairbrushes, and more. Head to rebelfemmeshop.com. And all throughout the month of November, when you buy one Kenra Professional product, you get one free full-sized hairspray. It's valid November 1st through November 30th, 2020. You are now listening to Rebel Femme Podcast.
An honest conversation about hair, life, and everything super random.
What's up?
Some technical difficulties today.
There's always technical difficulties.
Every day.
Can we tell our listeners what happened? I think we should.
This is round two.
Tell them, Yadira. Tell them what round two means.
We got done with a great podcast for you all.
Flawless.
It was perfect.
Literally no hiccups. Couldn't have been better.
Hit record.
We didn't press the red button.
Oh, it's so sad. So we had to wake up early.
And we are here early, early morning just to record this for you guys to listen. With your morning coffee. Hopefully you're listening to this on a Monday morning.
You better be. Because that rain was outrageous.
Yeah, we just got our rain. It's great. Like, I think Californians, we just love our rain.
We do.
Because it just never really happens. So when it does, it's like magical.
All I can think of is that stupid Hillary Duff song.
It's magical.
Oh.
That's what rain feels like.
In bed, though.
Yes.
All right. So for today's topic, we decided to pull inspo, from Danielle's blog post on rebelfemme.com. It goes over some essentials to prep you and your bride for their special day.
So is this blog post, is it for hairdressers or is it for hairstylists?
I believe the take.
Did you hear my question? Is it for hairdressers? Hairdressers or hairstylists?
I meant hairstylists or clients. Which one is it for?
It's gonna be a great podcast.
Especially because you're answering all the questions.
I can't stop laughing.
So the take of the blog, I'm assuming, is more for the clients.
Okay.
Than it is for the stylist. And I feel like this podcast is going to be a little bit of both.
Okay, cool. That's good. So that way our listeners kind of know. But I think, you know, I do get lots of great information reading consumer-based or even client-based blogs or podcasts. Because then it makes me think, okay, from a business perspective, how can I take this information and apply it to what I do for a service?
Exactly. Anyway. So, since we are stepping into your realm of upstyling.
Hairdresser and hairstylist here.
I can't with you. When today's podcast will be more Q&A style. So you'll be answering questions.
I'm very happy for that because I forgot my glasses today. So I cannot see any scripts. I can't see any anything.
It's okay. You don't read them anyways.
Oh, man.
All right. Moving on to our first topic. Bridal trials.
Let's do it.
How far in advance would you say is a good amount of time to book a trial?
I think where possible, anytime between 6 to 3 months before the big wedding day is essential.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because it's going to give you enough time to really marinate over the style that we created for you on your bridal trial. And you can start putting all the pieces together. It's kind of like when people go like food tasting for like what people are going to eat at their wedding, or like cake testing. That could be like another thing that some people do. They go and they test everything out, and then they like sometimes either decide that day or they let it marinate for a little while. And they're like, maybe we want to go with the chocolate marble. I don't know. I don't know what people do. I eloped, so I don't know what wedding planning goes like. I just know when I arrive, it's chaos usually. Somebody's acting crazy.
Was anybody acting crazy at my wedding?
No.
Okay.
No, not nobody. Everyone was chill at your wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully. At least we know of.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily like paying attention anyway, because I just remember Camila. I know who was acting crazy. My husband was acting crazy. Curly was acting crazy. You know why he was acting crazy? Because Camila was only a few months old and she was screaming. Oh, do you remember that?
Yeah.
She was crying and crying and crying. And she just literally wanted to smell me. Yeah. Curly was holding her.
Oh, she just didn't want him.
She didn't want him. She wanted me. Because I remember as soon as I put her on.
She was just like, boop. That's
it. She was content. Yeah. She was like, oh, there's my mother.
That primal instinct.
And I did. I finished your hair wearing her.
Yeah. There is photographic evidence. And she stayed quiet just for the ceremony. Yes, which was amazing.
This is true.
I was like, oh.
I know. But then she started crying once the ceremony was over. And everyone was eating, and it was just like, okay, we got to go now. Because it was like, when babies cry and they don't stop crying, it's so stressful. It's stressful for the parents anyway. It's like, you're always worried about what other people think when you have a baby.
I don't think it bothered anybody. It was just amazing that she just got silent for the ceremony. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was because I was wearing her.
All right. So, is there anything you wish brides would bring to a bridal trial? Actually, no. Hold on. Back up. What does a bridal trial consist of?
Great question. So, a bridal trial, it basically is a hair appointment that you're going to schedule, for me, ideally 3 to 6 months in advance, not the day before the wedding.
Day of.
Yeah. I think, too, like, the closer you get to the wedding day, the more stressful stuff gets. So that's why I always say, too, like, 3 to 6 months is good. It's like when you're kind of like in the happy zone of planning. It basically consists of, for me, and every hairdresser is going to be a little bit different, but a 2-hour blocked appointment that the time is only dedicated to you, where we try a few different styles. So usually I'll do about 2 to 3 different styles. That way you can try them out. Sometimes brides know exactly what they want and they're like, I want you to do this. So definitely bring some inspo pictures, bring your hair accessories or veil that you're going to wear. I've even had brides go as far as bring their actual dress, do the, you know, hair trial because they want to see the whole shebang.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I had a bride, actually, I thought this was a really brilliant idea. Because a lot of times they'll come and get their hair done and their makeup done on the same day. And then they have to go home, right? And then everyone sees, like, their look, right? And it's kind of like, it's not really too secret, you know? So I had one bride, which I thought this was a genius. She did her 2-hour bridal trial with me first in the morning. And then she went to her makeup appointment, her makeup trial, which was highly suggested as well. And then once we finalized the looks, right, on that day of, right, because she was like, oh, can you style my hair like this? Do my makeup like this?
Yeah.
She then scheduled a boudoir shoot immediately after. Yeah. So then she was able to put on all of her wedding day lingerie and her dress.
Yeah.
But she wore the dress kind of like slutty, you know, for the boudoir shoot. So I thought that was really, am I saying that right? Boudoir shoot?
Yeah.
Okay. I just was so early, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Hairdresser, hairstylist, I mean, I could be saying something else.
You're good.
So anyways, I thought that was rather creative, or a good use of the hair and makeup that you're already paying for.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I think the girl that I assisted that only did, or well, she didn't only do, but she mainly did weddings.
Yeah.
She was partnered up with a makeup artist that owned a boudoir studio.
Very cool.
So we would usually go there, do bridal trials there. That way they can do them in tandem.
Right.
And then get them ready for a boudoir shoot.
Yeah. I think that's really clever. And then you have something really fun to give your groom before walking down the aisle. I don't know. That's what that bride did anyway. She was like, I'm going to give him these like sexy pictures before we get married, like on the day of, like while he's getting ready.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I wonder what kind of pictures you're giving him.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were for his eyes only.
Nice. Anything else that you would recommend they bring to the trial?
No.
Extensions?
Oh, hair extensions. If you plan on wearing hair extensions, bring those. A lot of times I encourage people to just do like the clip-ins and stuff like that, but there's some brides that will do actual extensions, and this is a great time too to see the style and know if the extensions are going to work for you, because I know extensions sometimes are creatively placed in thinning areas, and then, you know, clients want something like magical to happen, and I'm like, no dude, you're going to see the tape in. So yeah, just extensions would be anything you're going to add to the head of your hair, like bring it.
Yep. Do you want to go over pricing, contracts, stuff like that?
Oh, yes. So basically that's what the bridal trial is for as well. So you will, for me anyways, I always have a contract. So once we're, you know, this is the time to spend and say, okay, these are the expectations between each parties. Everything from time to cost, and any type of like arrangements that need to be made. And so having a contract with the bride is going to be essential. And then in order to secure the date, typically I would, or to most 100%, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It is really early, but you're going to get a 50% non-refundable deposit to hold the date for the event, because, and you want to do that because you have to do planning for yourself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if you know, you're a one man show and you have a bridal party of eight total, it's almost impossible to get all of that done by yourself. So you're going to need to have some help.
Yeah.
So you're going to hire people. So this is why contracts are really important, because we all know on the day of weddings, especially, or any event, things change rapidly. So there's been several times where I've gone on location and I've quoted a price, and I know I'm going to be doing a party of six, for example. And then, you know, someone tells me, oh, you know what? Only three of the people are getting their hair done, not the six. Yeah. So we're only going to, basically, that means like code for we're only paying you for three people.
Yeah.
So now I just wasted my resources and the money I have to pay, you know, the assistant or whatever.
That's awful.
So this is why contracts are so important. It just protects you and your business.
Yeah. I feel like I told you yesterday, like a bunch of like baby stylists that I know don't even know like what a contract is for, or like what waivers are for, like model release forms and stuff like that. Just really save your ass.
So important. And I'm actually getting ready to launch something that stylists will be able to purchase. They'll be able to purchase a contract that they can customize. So it has like all the details in there, everything from like travel fees to like expectations and cost and deposits and like everything and anything you would possibly think of that needs to go into a contract. And I'm basically pretty much done with it, but I'm going to launch it pretty soon, and it'll be super affordable. And it, like I said, it'll be customizable, so you can put your like own logo in there and your name and all of that stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's super useful.
So hopefully it'll be up on both sites, so rebelfem.com, and then I'll put it on, of course, my marillamanelli.com.
That plane. Since we were talking about like bridal parties and stuff, do you and the makeup artists, sometimes you're just a one-man show, do you like to set up a schedule with the makeup artists when there are larger parties?
So I've worked with several different makeup artists, and I feel like, you know, I have a list of people that I like, so I always give my suggestions. And you know, honestly, when the day comes, I just like to at least be in contact with whoever's in charge of like schedules. And so having that contact with the makeup artist and even the photographer, because sometimes they come and take pictures of, you know, getting ready photos. So just kind of having some little bit of cohesiveness. I'm pretty flexible, but I worked with this makeup artist that was probably the most difficult one I've ever worked at. And she's very big on social media, so I'm not going to say her name. She does fabulous work. She really does. But she's a bit of a diva. Like, she's just like I'm me and you're going to work around my schedule. Oh. And so she actually wrote up when I'm doing hair.
Oh.
And I just said, okay, but I didn't follow her guidelines per Marilla style. I don't follow what people tell me to do ever. If you ever tell me I have to do something a certain way, I'll just tell you, okay.
Bye.
And I'll just do it my own way. But yeah, she gave me like a step-by-step, like, you're going to do this person at this time. But at least I knew what her schedule was, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I just knew not to work on those people during their time slot for the makeup.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Or do you think we covered everything?
I don't know.
As far as like.
I can't see.
Bridal trials. Well, I went through all my questions, so.
Yeah. Just go through Pinterest, make a little Pinterest board, and save all your hairstyles and share them with your hairstylist. And the little tip is, do not get your hair color done the day before the wedding. Anything you're doing to your hair needs to be done like well in advance.
Yes.
Color can be done like a week before, I think is generally good. But so that you don't have like
an oh shit moment.
Yeah. But yeah, just have plenty of planning.
That is always wise.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll move on to our next topic, which is styling products.
Yes. I like styling products.
I know you do.
I don't know why. I don't actually use them in my own hair too much. I don't ever really do my hair, but I like hair products. I like talking about hair products. I don't know.
So what types of products would you recommend every stylist have in their toolkits?
So if you don't know, I am a Kenra artistic ambassador. So I use and breathe everything Kenra. And Kenra treats me really well, so I do have and use all Kenra products. But there's lots of great brands out there. So what I'm about to tell you right now, you know, if you want to, you know, explore in your own product line that you're currently using, just, you know, start using things that you probably normally wouldn't use in the hair. And what I mean by that is, usually when we're working in the salon, clients love how their hair feels soft and silky, so we're always using softening and silky products in their hair. For wedding day hair, we're doing the complete opposite. So you're going to want to use products that are going to add texture, roughen up the surface of the hair, add hold and shape. So it's not going to feel soft and luscious. That's not what we're creating with, you know, upstyling. You want you know, things that are silicone free, so dry texture spray, mousses. I love fiber based paste. Did I say dry shampoos already?
No, you didn't.
Okay. And then, of course, like hairspray. So, like in Kenra, I really like using thickening mousse or volume mousse, dry texture spray, I already mentioned. And then texturizing taffy is my favorite all-time fiber-based paste. I use it all the time. And then, of course, volume spray is basically like a hairspray. So it has a really firm hold, and it's great for finishing. But if you, you know, kind of mess up a little bit and you're like, oh, I don't really like that, you can comb through it and then reshape and respray again. So that's what I really like about the hairspray. So, exploring those types of things and start blow drying people with mousse. I feel like people really underestimate the power of mousse. And I just got done with the photo shoot actually with Kenra this week. And there was a girl that they had on the Kenra team that was acting as my assistant throughout the week. And so she was just like really surprised that I was using a lot of mousse. And I was like, yeah, I go, you know, mousse is great to like hold shape. And we had this girl with super fine hair, this model, and her hair held up all throughout the shoot. Like any curl I put in it, it held. And even the model was like, wow, I can't believe my curl's actually holding. And it's because of the mousse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move that balloon. I'm sure our listeners can hear the crinkle
as it slides towards us. I think the mousse thing was a big aha moment for me when you talk about it in your course.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was like,
learn how to upstyle in 7 days.
Yeah, plug in.
Also on my website at marillamanelli.com, you can sign up for the wait list.
That was like a huge moment for me. I was like, oh, so I can go heavy-handed with this.
100%. On mousse, you can go heavy-handed. Yeah.
Because I've always had like that oh shit moment where I'm like, oh, I just made like this mountain on my hand. What am I going to do with all this?
Yeah. Don't give away all my secrets to my course, Eudora.
It's one. What else was I going to ask? You already told us pretty much what your favorite products are.
Yes.
Any tools that you would recommend to have in your toolkit?
Oh my gosh, anything and everything. So actually, we did not mention this on the Yesterday's Pretend podcast, but I do have an updo packing checklist available completely free. So if you go to marillamanelli.com, we could probably put it up on the Rebel Femme website. Maybe we can work on that. But basically it's a updo packing checklist. It just goes over everything and anything I put into my toolkit, and it's a cool little download that you can save to your phone, or you can print it out, whatever you want to do with it, or use it as inspo to make your own. But it's just a way for you to like not forget what you're packing. Cause there's been so many times that I've packed stuff and then I get on location and I'm like, shit, I forgot my extension cord, or I forgot my curling iron, or whatever the case may be. So there's things on there that you can go through and make sure you have everything. But in general, I already said it, extension cord. If you're going to go work on location, you should definitely have one of those. And then just like literally an array of bobby pins, pins. You should have different hot tools. I can't think of anything specific. It's literally a lot. You should really be over prepared.
Yeah.
For the event, because you just really never know
for anything and everything
what you're going to do. Yeah. So because sometimes people, like, you think it's going to be simple and then people start making requests. And the bottom line is, you know, you want to make your client and customer happy. So having all of the tools that you possibly need is going to be essential.
This is true.
You really shouldn't be that stylist that's like, oh, well, I only do this kind of style. Like, I hate that. I hate that. I feel like we're living in this world of like being super like niche-y. And I'm just like, dude, like if you do upstyling, you should be able to be pretty well-rounded in upstyling.
Yeah.
Like do a general type of styling. Like you, I don't know. I just see so many people that are like, well, I only do braids. And I'm like, okay. Like, so that's a good tip for a client. If you're listening, you know, make sure that the stylist that you're hiring is well-rounded in the type of styles that they can deliver. So, because there's some people that are like, I only do textured styles, or I only do structured styles. And like, that's not who you want on your doing the entire bridal party.
Yeah.
Maybe just for you. Everybody. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, you need to be well-rounded. It's so important.
Do you have any suggestions as far as what a stylist or how a stylist should prep their hair? Should they wash their hair day before, day of? Come in with sopping wet hair?
Yeah, great question. So this is something that I put in the contract, actually, that is so important. These are, again, one of the expectations that are essential so that way you can be successful in the styles you create on the day of. So what I recommend, again, is mousse, and you're not going to want to use anything silicone-based. So typically I'll tell the bride and the wedding party to come with already day before washed hair. So just shampooed and then light condition mids to ends. And then do, if you have mousse, put some mousse in the hair and then either air dry or even blow dry your hair and then sleep. Go to bed. Don't, you know, do anything else.
Yeah.
So arrive with that clean hair. And then if you don't have mousse, typically I'll just kind of like put that in on dry hair on the day of and then just do a quick little blowout on the top and then call it a day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. I think Danielle talks about accessories in her blog post.
Okay.
So I just kind of wanted to ask, do you normally provide them or should the bride bring her own?
In general, I would say the bridal parties should bring their own because they know what their dress is going to look like and all of those things. I just kind of have some random little staple pieces, like little jewels or maybe even bring like baby's breath or like little flowers and stuff like that. But in general, no, I don't supply anything. I know some stylists do, and it's a great extra revenue generator for them to bring, you know, accessories to the wedding.
Yeah.
And then they can sell them, but I don't supply them. I put that in my contract. Like, you need to bring your own shit.
Do you have any unconventional places where you've found bridal accessories?
Craft stores. So like Michael's, Joann's, you can make a lot of things. And this is why I'm saying, like, I might have things like that in my toolkit that I might not necessarily like sell to them.
Yeah.
But like, for example, I created this braid forever ago and I added these little metal pieces in and it literally was just cut metal pieces that I like pinched into the braid.
Yeah.
So those are things that I would probably, you know, add for free because it's not a huge cost out of my pocket. But in general, you know, you can find some really cool stuff at, yeah, craft stores.
Nice.
And then Amazon, of course.
Yeah.
There's actually really beautiful, like, actual hair pieces on Amazon that are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Like, I have one here in the salon that everybody seems to like. It's, like, rose gold. And I think I got that one for, like, $15. And it's so pretty.
Is it the one that's sitting right there?
Yes.
That one is really pretty. It's, like, pearls and
yeah, and
rhinestones.
They're bendable wires. Like, you can find some really cool stuff. I mean, half the crap on Amazon's from China, so it's cheap, you know?
Yeah. Another really good place, Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Just speaking because that's where I got mine from.
Yeah, Etsy is great because then you can, you're supporting a small business and you're, you know, getting something like almost kind of custom made for you.
Exactly.
Which is cool. Yeah.
I think that kind of went over all of the accessories realm. So we can move on to our next sponsored message.
Oh, sponsored message.
Before we move on to our next segment, make sure to check out our online shop, rebelfemshop.com, to get all your Rebel Femme merch and favorite salon products. You feeling that?
Yeah, it's my groove.
All right, time for
creepy client.
I'm sad because it's not going to be as good.
I know, it's because of my reaction.
It was perfect.
I know, because it was literally the first time I ever heard it.
Out of how many years working together?
12.
Yeah.
Because Zaya just turned 12.
Yeah.
It'll be 12 in January.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you started working at Ulta in January. I think it was around the holidays I was interviewing you.
Yes, I think I started right after Valentine's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you came just in time for Aquarius season. Mm.
The peak of your season. So this is...
I was born in February, just so everyone knows. And I am an Aquarius. It's the best sign.
Sure. It's debatable.
There's a song about us. You can't deny it.
I'm sure there is.
There's no songs about any other signs. Aquarius is like...
Isn't there?
The shit.
You sure you're not a Leo?
I am not a Leo.
You're acting like one.
It's because I'm married to one.
No, it's rubbed off.
Aquariuses just have a lot of confidence.
This is true. Well, no.
No, I guess not. No. We just like to think we have a lot of confidence. Yeah.
You're all talk.
Yeah, it's true. <Just kidding. laughs> All right, let's hear about this creepy client.
So this has to have been from when I first started working with you. Way back when.
Okay. Okay, it's so, okay. So this happened at Ulta.
Tustin days.
Okay. Tustin Ulta.
Yeah.
Is that store 208?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dang. Okay.
That's the only one I remember. So way back when. I used to have a client that was short-lived client. I think I only saw her like maybe two or three times, but she would come in once a month for a wash and blowout. She had really thick, really curly, kinky, coarse hair. So once a month was all she needed.
Okay. Understandable.
One of the last times that she came in, I took her to the bowl, started rinsing out her hair, and out came a roach carcass.
That's pretty fucking gross. I just got itchy again. Right now. Yeah, I just can't. I can't. It's making my like mouth yuck. I just can't do roaches.
Well, it was a carcass. It was nice and dry and crispy. And I don't remember how I saw it because the shampoo bowls were black. And
like, I'm still like in shock. Like I have Fucci face right now.
You do. You look like you're gonna barf. You're like pinching your nose.
I just don't know how you have a bug in your hair. Oh my God. I don't know how you have a bug in your hair and you don't know.
I don't know. I just do not know. So I proceeded to ask if she had been gardening recently. And she was like, oh yeah. Why? I'm like, oh, no reason. There's just like a leaf in your hair.
Is that what we're calling it? A leaf?
That's what I called it. She was like, yeah, I've been gardening a lot lately. Oh, okay.
But let's be clear here. I just have never seen a roach just chilling in a garden.
Yeah.
They're like in
the dirt.
They're like in the like ground in the walls where like humans live. And they like all the caca, the trash, and the food and whatever. And I know this because I've lived in roaches before. Yeah, in an apartment. It was like the worst. So I can share this real story really fast with you. But when we moved from our house, because my parents had sold their house in Downey, and we had to move into this apartment in Downey. And... just for a brief time, like literally 6 months, but it was the longest 6 months of my life because on the exterior, everything looked clean, but there were freaking roaches in this apartment. And my mom was very like OCD clean. Like she likes everything pristine. Like you don't leave any dishes in the sink at any time. Like it needs to be clean. Like you can literally eat off the floor. It's so clean.
Yeah.
And I just remember waking up one morning and going to grab a bowl from the cabinet to eat cereal. No. And I lifted the bowl up and thank freaking God I saw the squished roach on the bottom of the bowl because could you imagine like had I not seen that? and put the bowl down, and the next person went and grabbed the bowl that was squished. Like, you wouldn't have seen, like, or knew that there was a squished. Do you know what I'm saying? I literally screamed like a little girl, and we basically took all of the dishes out of the cabinets.
And washed them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though you knew they were going to come back anyways, but it was just.
But still, yeah.
And it became like ritual that we lived there. Yeah, my mom got rid of those couch. Like, she was like, we're not taking any of this furniture to our new house.
Yeah.
Just in case. Yeah. We didn't take anything. I think she got rid of it all. Like, literally just put it by the trash. I mean, it was all in great condition, but you just have no idea if there's like a roach just chilling on your couch. Like, no.
Bring it into your new home. It's all infested.
Yeah, no thanks. Gross. That's disgusting. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
I wonder if she really knew she had a roach in her hair.
I have no clue. I don't think she did.
Okay. A leaf. She was like, yeah, that's what it is. A leaf.
It's a leaf.
Oh, poor girl. I don't know if she's a creepy client.
No. It's I think the moral of the story is brush your hair before you come into the hairdresser.
Yeah, come with clean hair. We like clean hair. We don't like smelling scalp. Just thought let you guys know.
But I mean, if you're coming in for a wash and blow dry,
that needs to be an entirely separate podcast about like, we need to do a poll and see how many hairstylists like dirty hair. Because me personally, I like it clean. Mm. I want to smell it like fresh.
Mm, I'm sure clean. You do.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to smell scalp.
Says the one that doesn't wash her hair.
This is true. I don't wash my hair.
And subjects us all to her smelly scalp.
Well, it's kind of like, and I don't know, I consider you like family now, Yudira, so I feel like you can smell my scalp, my farts, my burping. It doesn't matter.
Mm.
We're homies.
I have the courtesy of farting in your sleep.
This is true, see? With my mouth open and all. I had no idea.
Yep.
Sleeping. Okay, so we encourage you to send in your creepy client stories to hello@rebelfemme.com.
Oh, did it change?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or you can send them to us in our DMs at rebelfemme on Instagram. And yeah, and to learn more about us, you can book an appointment at rebelfemme.com. You're just full of rebel femmes. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Make sure to follow us on Instagram if you haven't already at Rebel Femme, where we break down this episode throughout the week. Come on, Yudira. Say goodbye to people.
I don't want to. Thanks for listening to Rebel Femme Podcast. Before we go, show us some love by leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Make sure to join us next week for a new episode and a new
creepy client
story.
Yep. And just so you know, Yudira was late to saying goodbye to you because she's a little distracted with the election right now.
No, my client's actually here.
Okay. We'll see you guys next week.